Well, take out your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians with me, back to Philippians chapter 1. I have good news and bad news this morning. A couple of months ago, I saw a billboard that said that yesterday was going to be the rapture. And so I decided if that was the case, that I wouldn't prepare anything for today. That's just silly. Well, now I'm stuck. Now what do you do? When you come and it's the day after the rapture and it didn't happen. Well, of course, we know that that's not true. It's not the end of the world has been predicted so many times in the past. And Jesus told us not to do that. I just continually boggles my mind when people do that. Pick the day. And you can't see any reason why the Creator would then choose to have that day happen to be when someone picked it. It's just not going to happen. Philippi. The Church of Philippi. Continuing our study in the book of Philippians. Philippi was a church with a lot of trials in it. And I'd like us to think about trials today in a rather general sense. I'd like you, no matter what your definition of a trial may be right now, I'd like you to change it to a rather general sense just for this morning. In other words, it would be a hardship. It would be something that comes into your life that you don't necessarily like, something that's painful, or even just a minor annoyance. Try to think of these things as general, because the point, this is a two-parter. We'll be finishing the rest of this chapter next week and getting a little more practical next week, but just trying to understand trials generally today. Or a trial could be even something that's significantly life-changing and very, very difficult, as was the case in Philippi. They were under some pretty hard stuff. Some pretty difficult circumstances and trials. Church in Philippi was a church with trials. Let's read Philippians 1, 12 through 30 together, and then we'll see if we can gain a little understanding into God's purpose for trials this morning. Starting in verse 12, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be much more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." Let's pray together. Lord God, this is a life with hard circumstances, and you know that. Suffering, trials, problems. We know that it was sin that ruined your perfect creation and brought these things, but even that did not take you by surprise. God, you know and you walk through these things with us, and you have a purpose in all of this, and you're working it out. And God, help us to see that, and so that we can have a greater level of joy, that we can be on your plan and program, and that, God, we can please you, really, is our ultimate goal, to see you glorified, to see your name exalted in this world. Help us, God, as we unpack this passage today and just think about life and our own lives, God, to really let your word cut and do its work in us this morning, that this would be a very easily applied personal piece of scripture that we study today. And that, God, we could take these truths out and even help other people who are going through something maybe even much more difficult than we are. And that's our prayer for just lead and guide us this morning in your word and the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 12, as we read, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. That's one of those verses that I've heard. I don't know, not necessarily this verse, but I've heard the phrase, a pregnant passage. In other words, man, that the things which have happened to me, there's a lot that that means. And if you just think about whatever you may happen to know about the life and ministry of Apostle Paul, we'll think about a few of those things together. Wow, the things which have happened to me, that's a lot, isn't it? I mean, Paul went through some difficult stuff in his life. And certainly in his ministry, when Jesus came into his life and saved him and changed him, his life changed, and it didn't all of a sudden become an easy cakewalk, right? It became very difficult. He had trials and circumstances and people that were fighting against him and all of these kind of things. The things which happened to me, wow, that's a lot. And this particular context in verse 12, the things which happened to me are, Paul was in prison. As we studied a couple years ago in Acts 21 through 28, Paul was arrested unjustly, brought through all of those for years, traveling to Rome, all of those hard things back to back, one after another, difficult circumstances, and then ended up finally landing in Rome. Now, it doesn't say in Philippi that he was in Rome, but he does mention in verse 13 the Praetorian Guard. That was the, it says Palace Guard in the New King James there. The Praetorian Guard was the Roman guard that was assigned to the emperor. And so he was imprisoned in Rome when he wrote this epistle. The things which happened to me. So this is called one of the prison epistles. They also wrote Colossians, Ephesians, and Philemon from prison. The things which happened to me. Times were difficult. He was waiting Nero's decision on his life. That's not fun. That's not a godly man. He hated Christians. We see also that in verse 15 that other quote-unquote brothers had taken advantage of Paul's imprisonment and were using it as an opportunity to further their own agenda and to cause him pain. That's not fun. And, you know, Lord help us. As a church, that happens way too often. If we surveyed this room, I imagine that a great percentage of us could name another brother or quote-unquote brother that had done them harm. It hurt. It hurt them. The things which happened to me, other people who are claiming the name of Jesus Christ and claiming to be Paul's brother were actually using his imprisonment as an opportunity to cause him pain and to further their own agenda. Man, that's painful. That's a trial. That's difficult. The people who are supposed to be your brother in Christ, to love you and lift you up and help you and edify you and encourage you, are the very ones that are causing you hurt. Wow. The things which happened to me. Trials. Shipwrecked, lost in the ocean, shipwrecked on the island of Malta, falsely accused, name ran through the mud, beaten unjustly, mocked, even at Philippi, as the Philippians had seen, out there preaching the gospel. They delivered, God delivered through their ministry this demon-possessed girl, and they got thrown in prison for that. And the things which happened to me, wow, that is just a pregnant verse. There are so many things that happened to Paul that were difficult. And he testified, the things that happened to me would actually have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. That's amazing, isn't it? See, his response to trials, that's what we mostly want to look at today and think about. Why? How is that? And why is that? How is Paul able to say, look at these difficult things that happened in my life, and then respond in a way that he did have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel? He was rejoicing in those difficult circumstances. He saw God in it. You know, as we talk today, and there's a lot of stuff that I'd like to talk about today because it's such a practical passage of Scripture. They're all practical, but we're talking about this one today, so it's the one I love. I just want to be careful because every one of us is in a different place in life. And I'm not going to be up here trying to say today that your trial or circumstance is not significant, or it's not significant in your life, or it's not incredibly difficult for you right now. I don't know, unless maybe I'm just an anomaly, that every one of us has those kind of times. It's just difficult. It's difficult to unpack what's going on in life. It's hard. And you're like, what are you doing, God? And so that's not the point. The point is, we face those times. What do we do with that? What do you do? How do you go through those? How do you walk through them? And what is God's answer? Paul, in this, responded by faith. He saw God in his trials. I want you to know, brethren, that all of the things that you've heard and seen in my life, the difficult things, have actually, God has used them, have actually turned out so that the gospel is furthered. Paul could see God's good purposes at work through his circumstances. He chose to rather focus on what God was doing in him rather than to focus on how hard it was right now, how difficult it was right now to walk through those things. And we can see just Paul's testimony here. He said things like, most of the brethren in the Lord are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And think about what a blessing that would be in his life. He could see his right response to trials. Other Christians were seeing that and saying, I can do that. I can do that. I can take that kind of hard treatment, and I can preach the gospel just like him. They're much more emboldened because Paul was faithful and he was able to do that. Christians were proclaiming the gospel more than they had before. Soldiers, unbelieving soldiers in the Roman army, the Roman Praetorian Guard, the elite soldiers of the Roman Empire were seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ lived out in his life. It's become evident to the whole palace guard, my chains are in Christ. I mean, even unbelieving soldiers could say, wow, that's of his God. It's evident. Christ was exalted in that. They were seeing the gospel at work. Jesus Christ was being proclaimed. Paul even rejoiced in that. The people that were trying to cause him harm were at least preaching the gospel. Wow. Right? Wow. The gospel of Christ is being proclaimed. He says in verse 20 that in nothing I will be ashamed. Jesus Christ would be greatly glorified in him. Paul chose to see in his trials that God was at work and to focus on that. Think about even the fact that he didn't give up. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves this morning. If we had faced 10% of the kind of things that the Apostle Paul faced, wouldn't we be ready to throw in the towel, to just give up, forget about it? You know, that throw in the towel thing, that's like a boxing thing, right? Where if your guy's getting pounded too much, you throw the towel in, give up. You're getting pounded too much, too hard, just give up, throw in the towel. I say it's a wrestling thing because I was a wrestler, not a boxer. And there were several times when our coach had to throw in the towel. It's like, that guy's had enough beating, throw in the towel, he's done. It's too hard, give up. But Paul didn't give up, did he? he saw these difficult things and these beatings that he was taking, literal beatings, right? Beaten up. And he saw God at work in them, and here he is sitting in prison waiting for Nero to do what? Kill him, right? And what's he doing? He's writing a letter to edify the church and for us, right? By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, today we have fruit of Paul not giving up, don't we? He didn't give up. He saw God at work in that. He saw God's good purpose in his life and bringing him to these places and pulling him through these hard times. And he went and continued to work. Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, Ephesians, all written from prison. You might say, well, maybe it's because he had a lot of time on his hands in prison. But I don't think that's the point. He didn't give up. He didn't stop serving. His response, just as we saw in Acts 16, was to continue to rejoice and praise God in his trials. In this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice, he says. Trials, difficult times, seeing God in it, working through all of these things. How is your response? He even believed in verse 19 and 20 that God was going to release him. I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. I know he's going to. Why? This will mean fruit for my labor. See, he was looking forward to God using him even more. His whole focus was on being able to do more ministry. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happen to me, these hard circumstances in my life, I can see God's good purpose in it. That is a key principle for life. That's probably one of the foremost principles that we can get as part of our thinking and live out. I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me, the difficult times, God is using them in my life. God has a good purpose in there. Now, think through this with me again as we looked at Acts 16 a few weeks ago, the human element of this. And I want to come back to this a little later, but just to touch on it today, just right now, think about if you were in Philippi and you were remembering the things which happened to Paul, how precious his attitude would be to you. How precious. Because here he is unjustly accused, beaten, thrown in prison. God used that in your very life to bring you the gospel so that you could know Jesus Christ at all. And there's a real personal element to this where if you were someone in Philippi and you would say, those hard circumstances, I am so thankful that Paul chose to respond that way, because turning out for the furtherance of the gospel meant that I got to hear and see the gospel at work, and that became part of my life. God saved me. That's amazing. And so this would be a very personal letter to them and a personal thought to them. You know, the Philippian jailer and his household, all of them heard the gospel and saw the gospel and were saved just because of Paul's attitude in response to these difficult situations. We'll come back to that human element here in just a few minutes. But I want to kind of take this now and funnel it down to a little bit of an application for us. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Hard circumstances, God using it in your life. There's a personal element in it for the receivers of the book of Philippians. God's purpose. God has a purpose in everything. Everything that happens in your life. This is not a letter or a passage of Scripture that is about Paul's hard circumstances, okay? This is a letter about life. This is for us today. Everything that comes into your life, God has a purpose and plan in that, in letting it happen in your life. And it's a good purpose and plan, and we'll see that this morning. Everything that comes into your life, no matter how difficult it is, God has purpose and plan for it. In Paul's life, he said, the furtherance of the gospel. God was greatly glorified, and people got to hear the truth, and many of them were saved. And if we just even try to unpack that in our minds and think about, you know, again, that human part of it, but just even in your own life, what God might do. You know, isn't it so easy when something hard comes into our life and we think, I just want the heat off. Just stop it. Right? God, just stop it. And we forget that God is working something beautiful. And Paul, he got that. He rejoiced during the trial because then he knew that God was going to further the gospel. People were going to be saved. People were going to be added to God's kingdom. Lives were going to be changed. All of that was going to happen. Well, God has a better plan. We can see that. God is glorified. People are changed. Let's look at a few scriptures together. We're going to turn around in a few places in the Bible just to think through what some of these purposes God might have. 2 Corinthians 4:17 first. Getting a different perspective on life and trials. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Our light affliction, which is for but a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Okay, so first getting some perspective point. Anything that we face in this life, no matter how difficult, it's this big. Now, again, I'm not trying to make light of your problems. Okay, that isn't the point at all. But sometimes they're very hard, right? Very difficult. I have those. I don't want to see them as this big. But our problems are only going to last how long? Well, if you're 100 years old and you have problems the whole time you're alive, it only lasts 100 years. Right? Then what? Eternity. Your problems are this big. And God is working through these difficult things, things that we don't even know, and an exceedingly great weight of glory. It's going to last forever. God is working in your life. God is using you to help other people know Him and to see His work in your life and to see His gospel lived out. He's using you to glorify Himself. That's forever. And He says it's an exceedingly, that's big, it's a big weight of glory. And think about Paul here. This is one of the verses I just love. Our light affliction. Did Paul ever have anything that was light affliction? In our book, in my book? No. Right? Yeah, hard affliction all the time, right? He says, that's light affliction. That's light. God is working this great weight of glory. It's forever. It's awesome. Romans 8:28 and 29. You knew we were going to read that this morning, didn't you? Right? All things work together for good to those who love God, those who are the called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God is using these difficult times to grow us, to help us to be more like Christ, to change us, and to glorify Himself. God is using those. Our problems are this big compared to eternity and God's glory. God is using those things, principle two, to help us grow and to be more like Christ. Principle three is one as a good, prideful human that we don't really want to think about too much. God is a great king. He does whatever He wants to do. You know that? You say, well, God, I don't like this. I don't want this in my life. And so far, He's never said back to me, okay, I'll take your advice. I'll change what I'm doing in this world to get on your program. Doesn't happen, does it? God's a great king. Psalm 95:3, the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. Psalm 115:3. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and earth and all, in the sea and all the deep places. We're going to come back to the human part of that again here in just a moment. But just chew on that and think about that with me a little bit. What are you saying in your life? And I'm not saying I don't do this. Please don't ever hear that. But what are you saying in your life when it's hard and you get all angry and you buck against it and you just don't want that and you fight? What are you saying? You're saying, God, I'm king. I want my will done. I don't want your will done, because the great king has sovereignly allowed that into your life right now for this time. And he has a purpose. God is a great king. He does whatever he pleases. God is using it. 1 Peter 4:12-16. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. I love that language. Why do you think it's odd that you have a trial in your life? Peter says. You really? You think it's strange? Why? Why would you do that? But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, very plainly telling us there, don't be surprised when hard stuff happens to you, but rejoice. Just like the book of Philippians, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Again, next part of this principle is that getting a better perspective is that life is going to have some hard stuff in it. And it comes down to what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? All in light of the cross, John 13:31. And this should have a very personal connect to everyone here. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify himself, glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately." And so Jesus is going out, John 18:4, knowing all things that would come upon him, he went forward and told them, "I am the one you're seeking." See, that's all about the cross, the ultimate trial, right? The rejection of Christ himself, the beating, the mocking, the spitting on, the bleeding, the torture, the spear in the side, put to death, nailed to a cross, all of that for God's glory. You see, focusing, Jesus is saying there, it's all about the glory of God. It's the glory of the Father. God is going to glorify himself in me. Now, that was we're glad about that because Jesus glorified the Father. And then we all got to know him, right? We got to have a right relationship with him because of his suffering, right? His trial, his pain. It's not a generic thing. It's seeing God's good purpose in a very difficult, in the cross, a horrible thing. God's plan is better than our plan. Could anyone say amen to that today? Amen. God's plan is better than our plan. But you don't understand how hard it is for me right now. Well, maybe I don't, but God does. Right? God's plan is higher. He's working things out that you can't even see. He's doing things and he's using you if you're willing. Life, this is one that I don't even want to say. Because I want life to be about my comfort. Far too often. You ever been on vacation? What do you want to do on vacation? Comfort, right? Give me loads of comfort. God ain't all about that all the time, right? Sometimes a little bit of friction comes in there. What do you got to do? You have to respond. All right, what is God doing? How is God working through this? Life is not all about our comfort. And I want to submit to you this morning that to the degree that you try to make life about your comfort, you will be uncomfortable. Write it down. It is true. To the degree that you try to make life about your comfort, you will be uncomfortable because you cannot get it. You can't so manipulate your circumstances and everything perfectly to get what you want ordered in the way that you want it so that it all works out just the way that you want it, and then your desires will change anyway, right? You ever been there? You finally get what you think is going to make you happy, and then it doesn't make you happy. You don't even want it anymore, right? to the degree that your life goal is being comfortable, you're not going to be comfortable. It's not going to happen. Life has to be about seeing God at work, about glorifying Him, about loving Him, about enjoying Him, about being on His good purpose. You know, sometimes the things that we want, that we call trials, are so small. You know, they're so temporal. They're so nothing. And we get all upset about those, and we fight and bicker and feud and tear each other down. For what? Our plans are too small. Our thoughts are too small. And God wants to elevate our thinking to include Himself. I'm sorry for you that X, Y, Z didn't work out for you, but ask yourself the question, where's God in that? Where's God in that? And God wants to elevate our thinking. His plan is everlasting. It's huge. It's big. It's forever. And He wants to include you and use you in what He's doing. The things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, how long has it been since Paul remembers that affliction that he faced? It's been several thousand years, right? Doesn't even cross his mind now, does it? Because there's this eternal weight of glory that he's now living in. Wow. And he lives there forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever. God wants to elevate our thinking. His plans are greater and higher than ours. God is about in your life taking these times that are difficult, that we don't like, and molding you and shaping you and making you like Christ. He's about using you to glorify Himself. What an opportunity, right? See what I mean by our plans are too small, our thoughts are too small? If I could get my way in life, apart from God giving me clarity, I would choose to live a self-serving, easy life with every idol of mine fulfilled. Just give me what I want. Give me lots more food. Give me an easy job. Give me all kinds of stuff. Give me perfect weather all the time, right? Give me people that serve me hand and foot all the time. And then at one point in my life, this has happened to everyone, by the way, I would die, right? And what would I have? Nothing. And God has a higher, better plan for me where He's using these times that are difficult to glorify Himself. What do I have? Far more exceeding weight of glory. It's eternal, forever. He's glorified. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not in earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Life is not all about our comfort. And it is a privilege to suffer. As Paul says here in the book of Philippians chapter 1, he says, here we go. To me, it has been granted, verse 29, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. It has been granted to you. It's a privilege. It's a gift to suffer for His sake. Now, we need to ask the question this morning, and I want us to go back to the human element now. I want you to ask yourself this question. And I would even encourage you to have a good conversation with someone that you know and love and trust today in Christ about how your thinking is along these lines. How do you right now see your trials? How do you see suffering, problems, and trials in your life? And now, let's go back to the human element. And I want you to think about it like this. Or at least for right now, ask yourself questions like this. When another person in your life causes you discomfort, okay? Little discomfort, giant discomfort. Anywhere on that spectrum, right? Are you glad? Is it good? Are you able to say, there's a greater purpose that God is allowing in my life right now, and I'm going to respond in the way that best glorifies Him? Or do you more consistently find yourself right here? You are interfering in my plan, in my program, in my comfort right now, and I don't like you for it. In fact, I don't like you so much that I am willing to rip you down. There's a human element in all of this. This is where we really live it out a lot of the time, isn't it? A lot of the discomfort and trials and problems in our life come as a result of people. How about the Apostle Paul in this very epistle that he's writing? The things that have happened to me, how many of those things were people things? Quite a few, right? I mean, the people that were beating him were people, right? The people who were arresting him were people. The government authorities that were trying him were people. You know, there were some things that weren't like storms, but even that, he was on a ship going somewhere unjustly, caused by people. How do you see the problems with people in your life? Do you see them as good? And I want you to chew on this and think about this with me. Because to the degree that you think of people as your problem, you're going to have a lot of trials. You're not going to grow and you're not going to solve those. If you're bringing problems into my life, I don't like you, I'm going to war against you. See what happens there? All of a sudden now you got worse problems on your hands, don't you? You got tearing down and you got defending yourself, you got beating people up, you got all of that. But if you choose to say, all right, God is working out a good purpose in my life right now, and there's a need in my life, a need of growth, a need of Christ's likeness, a need to greater glorify my Savior, this person is not a problem. This person is someone made in the image of God who I can minister to now, no matter how difficult that is, no matter how much I want to go to the flesh and beat them up. It's a good thing that God let this in my life right now. How do you tend to see these difficult circumstances? I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Maybe God is letting this person be difficult in your life right now to grow you and to grow them. You think that might be the case? Every time, right? Do you see? If our focus changes from my problems are horrible, they must be avoided, to God is working out something in my life that is good and is helping me grow through this, the way that we interact dramatically changes. Because you are no longer the problem that I have to avoid or beat down or be right or whatever, but rather we're in this thing together of growth and we're trying to glorify God together. How do you tend to respond to trials? There's a very personal issue, a personal part of this. How do you respond? Are problems to be avoided? Do you run from them? Do you turn to a substance? You know, one of my Facebook friends said this week, I really need a drink. And I think the person was trying to be funny, but really a drink? Really? I need a drink. Really? How is that going to help you? You see, it's not. It's a lesser thing. Do you turn to those? Do you turn to substances or anything like that? Food, right? Huge. I'm getting anxious. I'm going to turn to that. Do you get depressed? Do you get angry? Do you lash out? Identify the problem first. How do you see them? How do you respond? How do you see that? And then what is going on there? What are you not trusting and seeing and understanding about your great God at those moments that you can change, that you can allow Him to change in you? See trials as the grace of God in your life. It has been granted on behalf of you not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. I love the last verse, the way he words it. Having the same conflict that you saw in me and now here is in me. So they saw him live it out. Now they hear that he's going through it again. Problems are good for you. They're good for others. They glorify God. Now, I'm not saying let's all go out and cause problems. I think we got enough, right? I don't mean it in that way. Please, if you're there, please talk to me soon. You know, I need to cause more problems in my life. Really glorify God. No. What God brings into your life or allows into your life, it's enough. Just change the way that you see them and focus on them. It's an issue of faith. It's really what it all comes back down to, isn't it? It's impossible to please God without faith. Do you believe that God is the great King? Do you believe that He does whatever He pleases in heaven and earth? Do you believe that he has a greater purpose than yours in your life? Do you believe that he really loves you and he is good and that he's working in your life? Do you believe that he is right there with you when times are hard and he grieves just like you grieve? Even more so. Do you believe that it's a redemptive opportunity whenever there's a trial? Do you believe that that person in your life that causes you so much pain is not the problem? That they're there as God's minister in that moment to you to help you be more like Christ? It's an issue of faith. It's an issue of trusting your great King. Seeing those things as from Him. Who is God in the light of your problems? How do you respond? How should we see problems? How should we respond? How do you? It's a better question. How can you best glorify God when things are difficult? As I said, next week we'll dig in a little more specifically into this passage and get practical. But today I'd just like to leave us with those thoughts. Take some time to look at your heart and to think of how your interactions have been this week, this month, this year. How do you tend to respond? You know, and I'm not saying anyone here is going to be perfect, but do you tend to respond in a certain way rather than trust God? And see if God will change that in your life. Start to think about why that would be and what's at the root of some of those things. This light affliction in our lives is working an exceeding weight of glory if we let God be the great King. Let's pray. God, we again just thank you for the practicality of your word and the truth that you do have a plan for every one of us, a greater plan for all people and a plan in each one of our lives, and that you love us that much that you don't just leave us here to do whatever we want to do, but you, which ends in nothing, but you lovingly grow us, which is eternal, and a privilege. We're so thankful for those times when life is difficult. I know that myself, and I imagine no one here would say, I just want more problems in my life, or I want more trials. And we certainly, we know that comfort in itself is not sinful, but when we make it our God, it is. I just pray that you'd help us today, Lord, even to take a step forward in wherever we're at in trusting you. Help us, God, as we try to be honest with ourselves and as we connect with another brother or sister in Christ today, to think about the way that we have responded to circumstances and trials, to be able to change, to say, the gospel is furthered. You are glorified. People, real people with real needs, with real lives and real souls are impacted because you, God, let this trial in my life. What a privilege and an honor. And God, we just thank you for your good purpose. Thank you for not allowing us just to go our own way. Thank you for changing and growing us. And thank you mostly for being patient with us through this whole thing and lovingly helping us to glorify you and to fulfill your amazing purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.